program is intended for mature audiences. Classic comedy, as well as Jeremy Long live at the Federals in North Hollywood. So stay with us here on Savino Veritas.
Well, I want to know about this.
Shapes up. Now, why not let the folks themselves ask for something that they'd like to hear?
What would they like to hear?
Something different. Now, is there anything special that you would like to hear us do?
Baseball.
Oh, no. Wait a minute, friends. You don't want to hear that, do you?
There's no crying in baseball!
Yeah, we got the props for you here. Oh, you came prepared, didn't you?
All set, huh? Well, this is a must. I guess it's a must. We've got to do it. Well, I'll tell you what. Let me see. That looks all right.
Okay.
We'll pretend. We'll just pretend. All right, I'll take it easy with that. We'll just pretend that we're organizing a baseball team here at the Retired Actors Home. And I am the manager. Now,
you're going to be the manager of the Retired Actors Baseball Team?
Yes.
I would like to join the Retired Actors Baseball Team.
Oh, you would?
I would like to know some of the guys' names on the team, so if I want to play with them, I know them, and I meet them on the street or in the home here, I can say hello to them.
Oh, sure. But you know they give baseball players nowadays very peculiar names.
I know, a lot of funny names.
You know, like Stinky Fields.
Stinky Fields.
Goofy Dan. Booby Bobber. Booby Bobber. Well, let's see. Now, we have on our team, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find out, the guy's name.
That's
what I want to find out, the guy's name.
I'm telling you, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
Are you going to be the manager of the baseball team?
Yes.
You know the guy's names?
Oh, I should.
Well, you tell me the guy's names on the baseball team.
I said, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
You ain't saying nothing to me yet. Go ahead and tell me.
I'm telling you,
bro. You said nothing yet. Go ahead and tell me.
Who's on first? What's on second? I don't know who's on third.
You know the guy's name on the baseball team?
Yes.
Well, go ahead. Who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the guy's name.
Who?
The guy playing first.
Who?
The guy playing first base.
Who?
The guy at first base.
Who's on first?
What are you asking me for? I don't know.
Wait a minute. I'm
asking you who's on first.
That's his name.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first.
That's it. That's his name.
Well, you ain't said that. I ain't asking nothing.
You did.
You know the guy's name on first base? Sure. Tell me the guy's name on first base.
Who?
Who
is on first, Lou?
What are you asking me for?
Don't get excited. I'm saying who.
I'm asking you a simple question. Who's on first?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
That's it.
That's who? I'm asking you, what's the guy's name on first base?
Oh, no. What's on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
One base at a
time. Don't mix up my.
I'm not mixing up anybody. Now, what's the guy's name on first base?
No, what is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who is on first?
I don't know.
He's on first. We're not talking.
How could I get on third base?
You mentioned his name.
I mentioned his name.
Yes.
I don't know anybody's name on the team. How could I mention a guy's name?
You did. You just mentioned it.
All right. What's the guy's name on third base?
No, what's on second?
Who's on second?
Who's on first?
I don't know.
He's on first.
I didn't even mention a guy's name on third base.
Yes, you did.
All right, who's playing third base?
No, who's on first?
I'm not asking you what's on first.
What's on second?
Who's on second?
Who's on first?
I don't know. He's third base. Team.
You do. You mention their names.
I do?
Sure.
You got it out for you?
Well, naturally.
Tell it for you, his name.
Why?
I just thought I'd ask you.
Well, I just thought I'd tell you.
Well, go ahead. Tell me.
Tell you what?
Tell it for you, his name.
Why?
Because I want to know. Because.
All
he's center field. You know these players as well.
Who's in center field?
Now, who's on first?
What's that first?
I don't know.
Third base. Do you know the guy's name's on the team?
Look, Louis, you don't seem to understand. See, I have a first baseman.
I know you got a first. I asked you what's the first baseman's name?
No, what's the second baseman?
I'm going to stop asking, sir. I asked you what's the first baseman's name?
What's the second baseman?
I don't even get past the first. All right, who's on second?
Who's on first?
What base do you want to talk about?
You talk about anyone you want to talk about.
All right, now who's on first?
Right.
Okay.
No.
All right, you got a first baseman.
Yes.
When you pay off the first baseman every month, who gets the money?
Every dollar.
Every dollar. Who
does it? He does. Sometimes his wife comes out and collects it.
Whose wife?
Yes. Why not, Lou? He's earned it.
Who did?
Yes.
Look, when you pay off the first baseman every month, you get a receipt from the guy?
Sure.
How does he sign his name?
Who?
The guy you give the money to.
Who?
The guy you give the money to.
Well, that's how he signs it.
That's how who signs it?
Yeah.
The guy comes.
That's it.
Who? Look, you go to first baseman.
Yes.
And you say to him, here's your money, sign the receipt. How does he sign his name?
Who?
The guy you give the money to.
That's how he signs it.
That's how who signs it?
Yeah, sure.
You gotta get a receipt from the guy,
right?
How does the guy at first base sign his name?
Who?
The guy at first.
That's how
I'm asking, when you give the guy the money, what's the guy's name that you give the money to?
Now, wait a minute. What signs his own?
Who signs his own?
No, who signs his?
I mean, what's the guy's name at first you get...
What is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
Third base.
Get fielder's name. The center field. I don't know. You got a pitcher on the team?
It needs to be a fine team without a pitcher.
It's a fine team. What's the pitcher's name?
Tomorrow. I can't change that name.
You don't want to tell me the day?
I'm telling you.
Go ahead. Tell me the pitcher's name.
Tomorrow.
Why not tell me today? All right, what time tomorrow you tell me the pitcher's name?
What time what?
What time tomorrow you're going to tell me who's pitching?
Who is not pitching?
I'll break you around, you see. I don't know what's the pitcher's name.
What's on second?
I don't know. Third base. You got a pitcher?
Suddenly you've got a catcher on a baseball team.
Pitcher's name?
Today.
Today. Tomorrow's pitching, today's catcher.
I have got it.
Now I got it. All I got, we got a couple of days on the team, that's
I
all.
I can't help that, Lou. I know.
You know, I'm a pretty good catcher myself.
That's what they tell me.
Yeah, now I get behind the plate, and I'm going to do some basic catching, and tomorrow's pitching on my team, right?
Yeah.
Now, tomorrow, he winds up the ball, and I'm behind the plate, and a heavy hitter gets up. Now, heavy hitter gets up, and he's ready to hit the ball, and tomorrow's going to throw the ball, and I'm the catcher. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to try, tomorrow throws the ball, the guy punched the ball. Now, when he punched the ball, me being a good catcher, I'm going to throw the guy out of first base, so I pick up the ball and throw it to home.
Now, that's the first thing you said right.
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Well, that's all you have to do.
You can throw the ball at first base.
Yes.
Now, who's got it?
Naturally.
Sure. The guy is running at first base, and I want to throw the guy out.
So
I throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
Throw it to who?
Naturally.
And who's got it?
Naturally.
So I pick up the ball, and I throw it to Naturally.
Oh, no. You throw the ball to first base, then who gets it?
Naturally.
That's it. Now you're
not seeing it. I pick up the ball, so I throw it to Naturally.
You're
I throw it to who?
That's
what I'm saying. I said, I throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
You ask me.
You throw the ball to who?
Naturally. Same as you.
Say it
I throw the ball to Naturally.
You don't. You throw it to who?
Now who's got it? Naturally. That's what I said. Whoever it is, better get it.
Get it. Don't worry about who.
Who'll get it?
Yeah.
He better get it.
All right.
Now, I throw the ball to whoever it is, drops the ball so the guy runs a second. Who picks up the ball, throws the what? What throws, I don't know. I don't know, throws back to Tamar. Triple play.
Could be.
Another guy gets up, and it's a long fly ball to be caused. Why? I don't know. He's on third, and I don't give a darn. I don't give a darn.
Oh, that's our shortstop.
I mean,
Bud Abbott, Lou Costello, who's on first, never ceases to make me laugh. Never ceases to make me laugh. It is the baseball season. I know Jeremy Long is with us tonight. He's a big baseball fan. He's a Philadelphia, you're probably a Phillies fan, right? I know, I'm just teasing you. I know, you're
I,
not,
know
I know you're not a big baseball fan.
I know
fan.
It involves a ball and...
And a bat.
And a bat, and I think 9 innings?
Is this your final answer? Bing, bing, bong.
9 innings is correct.
I got that right.
And, but who's on first is a classic
Make me laugh.
It holds up, and really just one of the greatest comedy bits of all time.
I think so. I really do. It does. It really never ceases to make me laugh.
Yeah.
Who's on first?
Yeah, it's pretty genius.
Now, speaking of never ceasing to make me laugh, Jeremy Long, you're doing a pretty good job in that area.
Oh, my God!
And recently saw Jeremy Long at, I've seen him a number of places now, at the, there goes the memory again, Jeremy, the Burbank place here in Burbank.
Flappers
was the first place
Flappers,
I saw you.
Which sounds like a fake comedy club.
Flappers.
Flappers.
It's a it's not a bad club. You could comment on a club because now you have an array of clubs that you've been to.
I do pop up all over town here in Los Angeles, but you know it just sounds just the name of it sounds fake. Flappers. Frank and I used to like to come up with fake comedy club names. Chuckle Hut.
The Chuckle Hut.
Another one, I think, was Giggles and Gags.
Giggles and Gags. Yeah. That could be a combination comedy club S&M studio.
That could be a combo.
Hello, Master.
I think another one was just simply titled Guffaws.
There's a word. There's a lot of interesting words for laughter.
I can't listen to any more of this. What's the matter with you people?
But we
How can you sit here and talk like this?
The Federals in North Hollywood.
The Federal Bar, yeah.
The Federal Bar. And I'm going to play Jeremy's set as soon as I can find it. Here it is. Here's the folder. Open up folder. And... So let's listen to Jeremy Long live. Well, it was live. It's now on digital tape. I guess you don't say tape anymore. It's digitized.
And inconceivable!
Here it is from last week from the Federal Bar.
What a treat.
And we will talk about it and maybe some of the other people who played at the Federal last week. So here's Jeremy Long.
Jeremy Long, everybody!
I feel underdressed. So thanks for that. What else? I like to start off my shows to tell you guys a little about myself. I have OCD. I'm self-diagnosed with OCD. I discovered it because every time I mentally undress a woman, I had to immediately mentally fold her clothes. So that's how I do it. What else, guys? Mother's Day was just this past weekend. That's exciting, right? You guys know about Mother's Day, right? It's a holiday where if your mom crawls out of bed and sees her shadow, it's 6 more months of passive-aggressive control. So we have that to look forward to. Well, so I always pretend I'm a professional comic, but I do have a day job. I should say I did have a day job because I just quit the other day. All the unemployed people were here on a Wednesday night. No, I quit because they were trying to get me to sign up for their 401k, and I was like, there's no way I'm running that far, so. Get the hell out of there. But I do a lot of comedy shows. I perform around here a lot. I also perform on the East Coast, just got back from a small East Coast tour. I was in D.C. doing a show. You guys familiar with D.C.? How could we not be now? I went and visited the Air and Space Museum while I was there. You guys familiar with the Air and Space Museum?
Wow.
I was a little disappointed. There was nothing there. Thank you. That joke does have a lot of people. A lot of people didn't get it, so I got to dumb the jokes down for the rest of the what else? You know, I'm trying to really just break into the Hollywood scene in general, not just comedy. I wrote a script because everybody's peddling the script out here, so I wrote one too. It's about this guy with erectile dysfunction who has a really bad acid trip called See Alice in Wonderland. And it's not selling well. Lasts longer than 4 hours, and nobody wants to watch that movie. What else? Here's a relatable topic, passwords. I was try and log into an account this morning I hadn't logged into in a while. You know, all the passwords, they have their own specifications, and it starts to get confusing. Like, I use my go-to password, all one word, all lowercase, I love cats. Because I do. You guys know me. And it blocked me out, so it must contain at least one capital. So then I tried, I love Sacramento cats. Still boring. Now I'm blocked out for life. You know, they're coming out with Indiana Jones 5. That's pretty great. Still, Harrison Ford, he's 73 years old. I thought they were going to recast him, but no, it's still him. I Googled it. He's 73, and I think the working title is Indiana Jones and the Legend of the Fallen, Who Could Not Get Up. I think they're renaming it to Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark, so... What else? You know, this is a true story. You guys can check this on your internet when you go home. There's a porn star with the same name as me. Jeremy Long, so a little generous on his part. My mom was he's an Asian male porn star, by the way. Asian male porn star, same name as me. My mom was very concerned. She says, now all my friends are going to think my son's a porn star. I said, I think you should be more concerned that all your friends are watching Asian male porn so much. The problem with Asian male porn is once you're done getting off to it, an hour later you're horny again. So. What else, guys? I was reading this article recently, all about food. That's one of my favorite topics, food, if you didn't notice. It said that lettuce could lead to salmonella poisoning. I like to play things safe. I'm a safe guy, so I thought, just in case, no more lettuce. Don't want to risk that. Then later in the same article, it said alcohol could lead to alcohol poisoning. So I thought, just in case, no more reading. What else, guys? I have a lot of random thoughts I usually like to share with my audiences. Like, I wonder if it's a happy meal, if you're crying when you're eating it. That's my bit in there. What else? I think Head and Shoulders should release a body wash about everywhere else. That would raise their profits. What else? Here's something fun to do. This is something I do. You guys can do it too when you get home. If the show's not good enough forward, it's a television show. Most of them aren't these days. You DVR it, put it on rewind, watch it backwards. It's a much better show. Like, Intervention is backwards. It's all about a guy who parties really hard after a shitty family reunion. 10 times better than... What else? I think the Gambler's Help Hotline would be a lot more interesting if every 10th call was a winner, right? I also think there should be a Plastic Surgeon Anonymous group, right? Because it's a real addiction for some people. And we have AA, and there's a group for sex addicts, so why not plastic surgery addicts? But if for no other reason, it would be great because you could start off each meeting with, "Welcome to Plastic Surgery Anonymous. I see a lot of new faces in the crowd tonight." Thanks, guys. My name is Jeremy Long.
Tonight, you just don't wear suits. Okay, cool.
So that was Jeremy Long, who's with us here at the Lion's Den Studios live in Burbank, California, from Sabina Veritas tonight.
Happy to be here.
And Jeremy, that was a good ad lib. Jeremy, the guy who introduced you and also said,
TK,
give it up for Jeremy Long at the end, was dressed in a tacky suit, and at least in my opinion was tacky, I don't know. And ladies and gentlemen, it was interesting because Jeremy followed this act called the Men's Club, and this gentleman, what was the guy's name again? Who just
TK.
TK. He was one of the five. Were there five of them? Or four?
Yeah, there were five.
Five. There were five men, all dressed in tacky suits. They seemed to like be shooting for the image of the Rat Pack.
Sort of like Rat Pack style, Vegas comedy show type of image.
I think that's what they were going for.
That's what they were going for.
I don't know if they achieved that. It was, so I waited a long time for Jeremy Long, like an hour
of the men's club, which was, I don't know, so-so.
I will withhold my opinion, therefore I will continue to get booked.
Yes, I think. That's a good point. You know, I didn't want you to, yeah. So, now, but, you know, Jeremy, on that issue, you and I were talking before the show about how if they had any success that night, and, you know, they were somewhat successful. I think if you poll the audience, even though it was not an exotic strip club, but if you poll the audience, I think they would say, oh, well, yeah, we like them. We like the men's club. And I think it was mostly from their energy.
Correct. Yeah.
And we were talking about that, how different styles of comedy.
Which, like, I find works. I mean, I've seen, again, I will withhold my personal judgment about the men's club, but I have seen some pretty terrible acts around town when I hit up different clubs or go to open mics or what have you. And there have been certain ones where people were laughing like crazy and I just couldn't understand why. And I think sometimes it is just about their energy.
Yeah.
Or their delivery, even if the material itself is not exactly that great.
Which, like, I guess brings us to the subject of what it is to make a successful stand-up. It is, of course, the material.
Yeah.
I think, personally, material is number one.
Yeah, I agree. I think some people rely on the energy a little too much.
Yeah.
And it may pay off for them, for certain people. As you could probably hear, you saw, and the listeners at home can hear from that recording, I pretty much rely on the opposite, because my stage presence, while I believe, after honing it for many years, I believe it works for my style of humor, my kind of monotone, dry stage presence.
Yeah.
I feel it works for my style of humor and my brand of jokes. But clearly it's not super energetic in the least. So I think I rely on the opposite. I more so rely on my jokes, the material, than any kind of stage presence.
Yeah, and I think you have to kind of weigh your delivery mold. You have a moldy delivery there. Yeah, you have to mold your delivery to your material, I think, you know. And on the other hand, there have been some great comics that have been, their delivery was antithetical to the material, and it was like, wow, it's just super. Like, you know, Andy Kaufman, I think.
Oh, Andy Kaufman, yeah.
I think is a guy that would, you know, well, he was so out there, like he's in another and category.
Slash Tony Clifton.
I'm not familiar with Tony Clifton.
That was Andy Kaufman. That was one of his characters.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm doing that. Again, remember when you and Zane were here, we were talking about the Oscars, and you guys said that the director, Steve McQueen. Well, you were talking about Steve McQueen, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, he's dead. Steve, you know. So here, I'm doing it again. So Tony Clifton, is it Tony Clifton? Was the
Tony
character?
Tony Clifton was a character Andy Kaufman did.
You know, I must have seen it, but...
Yeah, like this sleazy guy with, like, a mustache.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I definitely have seen him, yeah. I have seen Tony Kaufman. And he'll be hosting the Tony Awards this week or next.
Speaking of the Oscars, I hear Jimmy Kimmel is coming back for the 2018.
Oh, just announced. Seriously?
Yeah.
Really?
Which I think is good, because I think he did a good job.
I think he surprisingly did a good job.
Yeah, I was surprised too. I used to not be a fan of his, but recently, because of that, and also, you know, he had that one show recently where he was talking about his newborn baby.
Oh, that was...
I'm sure that floated all around the internet.
That was, yeah, that went, as they say, viral.
Yeah, just what he said and everything, I kind of became a bigger fan of his.
He has some pretty good things, actually. I have, in fact, I have a thing here from, obviously that's going to be on next week's show. I do have a cut for, since we're talking about Jimmy Kimmel, he will be on next week's show, unbeknownst to him. Jimmy Kimmel will be on next week. The Fox versus fake news little piece that he did. There's a lot of good Jimmy Kimmel things. So, that's good. I'm glad Jimmy Kimmel is going to do the Oscars again.
Yeah, I think it's good.
That was certainly a memorable ending to the Oscar show.
Yeah. That he handled quite well.
Yeah, I thought he handled that well.
In the face of confusion.
He blamed himself, unfortunately. I thought, well, you know, in a joking way.
Yeah.
See what happens when I host the Oscars. Well, this is Savino Veritas live from Burbank, California. This is Tom Savino from Lion's Den Studios. Jeremy Long is here, a comedian, and we just listened to his set.
I couldn't get over that one laugh. Did you hear it when we were listening to that set? I don't know who it was. Somebody, you know who it was?
Because my Savino Veritas audio equipment was on the table. And that was the guy next to me who I just met, your friend, actually.
Oh.
What's his
the
African man?
Oh, yeah. I had just met him that night as well.
Oh, you just met him there?
Yeah. No, not there. A friend of mine apparently met him, told him about me, so he followed me on social media. And then came to the show.
Oh, so you did. Okay. So he was responding to social media.
He was responding to my post on social media about my show. I'm happy he came out. But yeah, I actually just met him that night. So that was him, that one laugh.
Unfortunately, you know, because if my audio equipment was in a more strategic location, it would be more of a general mixed sound.
Right.
But his laughter was right there. But it sounded pretty well, actually, I think. Let us know, fans. And speaking of social media, you could follow me on Twitter, please. Please follow me on Twitter, TJ Savino on Twitter. TJ Savino on Twitter. Jeremy Long is Jeremy Long.
At Jeremy Long MD.
Jeremy Long MD.
And then on Instagram.
And the MD is, you're not a medical doctor.
I am not a doctor. I don't play one on TV. It's my middle initials. I have two middle names that will remain anonymous.
Oh, okay.
So Jeremy Long was taken. Jeremy MD Long was taken. So I did Jeremy Long MD.
Ah, okay.
Way back when Twitter first came out.
Now, you know, I've heard your set before. But there were a few new ones in there.
Yes.
That I liked.
Including my Mother's Day joke, which I only get to do
once a year. There are those jokes.
I could somehow craft it that I could do it at every show, but I feel it's just better appropriate when it's right around Mother's Day, if I'm lucky enough to have a show in that time frame, and then I do it.
Oh, you know, I just popped in my mind, Jeremy, and as we started the show with Abbott and Costello's famous Who's On First routine. And, you know, I apologize, I admit that I was searching for, you know, some connection between baseball and Jeremy Long. So that's why the name of the episode tonight is Long Rain Delay. But it is R-E-I-G-N, because it's the reign of Jeremy Long, which is
slowly. The
slow reign of, you'll be a dynasty someday.
I'm taking up, yes.
It'd be the Jeremy Long dynasty. But as they started that routine, I don't know if you noticed, but they started the routine. Under the guise of asking the audience, what do you want to hear, a request, you know? And, of course, they said baseball. And, you know, Bud Abbott said, you don't want to hear that. Yeah. You want to hear that? And last night I saw Paul Simon, who's like 9,700 years old.
Wow.
You're not much of a bargain, you know. You're conceited and thoughtless and messy.
I saw Paul Simon last night.
I don't think anybody's lived that long since, Abel?
Abel,
or was it Cain?
Cain and Abel and Paul Simon, I think.
They're the only three.
He was doing the music back then. And he was, they started, he was on Stephen Colbert's show, and they started the show before Stephen comes out, went to the live audience and all that stuff. They started the show in an office where Paul Simon was just picking the guitar, and Stephen comes in and says, "Hey, would you please sing the 59th Street Bridge song?" Now, I don't know if you know what that is.
Yeah,
you know. Oh, you do? Okay.
Big Paul Simon fan.
So, you know, slow down, moving too fast, got to make the morning light. So Paul said, "Oh, I hate that. I hate that." And I think musicians, you know, they hate a lot of their most famous things. I went to a concert once with John Denver, and he didn't do Leaving on a Jet Plane. And, you know, it's almost like I wanted my money back. But but I want to ask you, now you're still new to this, so you're probably not sick of your routine. But, like, are there, could you see yourself saying, "Jesus, I don't want to do that joke again. If I have to do that joke one more time."
Yeah, well, of course, like you said, I'm not at a level where I get people coming and yelling, "Do the 401k.
Yeah.
What do you think I came here for? I didn't spend $5 for nothing.
But that's
$5 to hear there's a new shit.
That's very funny. But who knows? Maybe there, you know, there'll come a day where you're so, "Oh, that's the guy with the 401k joke." Yeah, let's say, "Hey, you didn't do the 401k joke."
Yeah. And then I'm like, "Security, get this guy." I actually remember another one of my favorite comics, Brian Regan. I remember seeing him. I saw him live at before I moved here. I was back in Pennsylvania at the Hershey Theater, and he did a little, which I've never seen any comic do ever. But he did a thing where, for his encore, when he came out, he was like taking suggestions. He's like, "Is there anything you guys want to hear?" Like, you know,
really?
Yeah. And somebody yelled out like one of his, a really funny bit by him, but it was on like his very first special, and he was like having trouble remembering parts of it, and like people were shouting out parts of it, because if you're a big fan, you kind of have like the whole thing memorized.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I have a lot of community routines memorized that I enjoy. People were yelling stuff, and he's like, "You guys can do it."
You do it. It's like at a concert, a musical concert, where the musicians stop singing and let the audience start singing or something like that.
No other profession can you do that. You can't be like in the middle of a surgery and just be like, "Hey, well, here, wake up, buddy. Can you take over? I'm going to go eat a sandwich."
Yeah. Well, those surgeons have me in stitches anyway. So Jeremy,
hey, next up at the Federal Bar in Palm Savino.
Savino, do that stitch joke again.
So to answer your original question, there's no jokes I'm really sick of. I will say that it's been long enough that I've been doing this same, and of course what you heard at the Federal Bar and what the listeners at home heard was only part of my routine. I only did about 7 minutes, six, 7 minutes, whatever he had me do. I could probably do about 15 on average, maybe a little more. And, you know, I switch jokes out of different shows and stuff like that. But I have the same group of jokes mostly. And but I've been doing this basic set long enough that I know which jokes get the most laughs.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So I craft my set in a way where it's kind of like a valley.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know just from experience of doing the same jokes over again, of course, if it's a different crowd all the time, so it doesn't make any difference to them, but doing the same jokes, I know, like, okay, this one always kills.
Yeah.
This one sometimes kills, sometimes doesn't. We'll see. This one is a brand new one, so we'll stick that in there, you know, stuff like that. So it'll be kind of like, you know, super good one that always works, and then maybe a kind of good one, another kind of good one, a super good one, and then a new one, and then a super, you know.
Yeah.
So I lay it out, you know, a little more strategically than one might think. when I'm preparing for a new show.
Well, I like the that new to me was I think. Well, you know, you already know I'm my memory is fading along with other things, but I think the joke about. Well, I know you'd mentioned before, and it is true, by the way, right? That Jeremy Long, there's an Asian porn star.
Yeah, that's true.
Jeremy Long.
I'll tell you something. You tell me your thing first, and then I'll tell you.
And I don't remember the little thing you said this time about your mom. Like you commented on your mom. That was a good comeback, I think. Like, why are your friends watching Asian porn?
Yeah.
Was that little part new? Or
well, no.
Was it just my memory?
If you heard that routine before about the Asian male porn star, then you heard that.
I did hear it.
Because that's been attached to that routine.
Yeah.
Since I created it. The one thing I did add was the generous part, which is just a short little thing at the beginning.
Oh yes.
Where I say generous on his.
Generous on his part.
His part.
I like that. That joke, the Asian porn joke with about your mom, and you know your mom was upset or maybe upset thinking, oh, my son is
right
an Asian porn star. Is that true? Is there truth to that? I mean, there is an Asian porn star named Jeremy.
Aside from that, there is no truth to that. Didn't even know until I told her.
Okay, yeah. So she didn't do that. But you know what I like about that, though? It has what they call, in the film writing business, verisimilitude, which is the appearance of truth. Like it feels real, it feels like it really... And I don't know, for me, as an audience member, I think I like that. In a comic. So, for instance, one of the comics there that night was Alfonso Cabrillo, who is a Mexican black man, young man. What he had going was his entire routine was about being Mexican and black.
Yes.
You know? So... Now, undoubtedly, a lot of the things he was saying never happened, probably, like, you know, the whole bit about meeting a homeless guy.
Oh, that one, yeah. Right, yeah.
He probably made that up. But...
Right. I came to a red light on Sunset the other day. Came to a red light, I stopped the light, I looked at the corner, and there was an older white homeless man with a sign, said, veteran, out of work, like, hungry, you know, it was hot. I was like, I don't have any money to give this guy because I'm broke, but I do have this unopened bottle of water. No, I don't need this bottle of water. It's a hot day. So I roll my window down. It's an old, it's an old window. It's also a very large window. I'm still rolling it down. I roll my window down, and I reach my hand out, and I'm here. You know, take this bottle of water, man. Like, you need it more than I do. He walks over. Grabs a bottle of water. We're silent in this moment. He looks at it. He looks at me. And he goes, water! Nigga, I'm in hell. I need a beer. Throws the water down on the ground. I'm like, fuck. This man really needs a beer. What do you say in that situation? Yeah, this guy called the N-word, but I felt bad.
No, I like that. That reality thing.
Yeah, right.
So
right.
Now,
where in reality, 99% of the things that comedians say on stage is false.
Yeah, probably. I would think so. But you get a guy like Louis C.K. I like Louis C.K. a lot.
He's at the top of his game right now.
Yeah,
he's one of the top dogs in the modern comedy world.
And yes, I think so. Mm-hmm. You know, and he is, at least it seems that a lot of what he does is based on his experience. Mm-hmm. I guess that's what I mean by the verisimilitude thing.
Yeah.
Like that joke about your joke about the porn guy, the Asian porn guy, has a feel of this really came from your life.
Yeah.
And at least to a degree, it did, because it does, because of that.
Which is interesting, because I reached out to Asian male porn star Jeremy Long via Instagram.
Did you really?
And I said, "You stole my name, and now everybody thinks I'm a porn star."
Did he get back to you?
Yes, he found it very humorous. I told him he apologized.
Did he really?
Yeah, he apologized. It has become a small problem. I'm not too worried about it, but I do have to tell people when I say, like, you know, they're like, "Oh, you're a comedian," and I'm like, "Yeah, look me up. Make sure you add the word comedian after my name when you search it on YouTube. Otherwise, you will get things that you don't want, probably, depending on who it is." But so I joked about him, and he apologized, which, of course, I wasn't seeking an apology. But he thought it was funny, and then I told him how I did a bit about it in my routine, which I then posted a clip on Instagram that he saw and liked. So, yes, Jeremy Long, the Asian male porn star, approves of my Jeremy Long, Asian male porn star bit.
That's cool. Does he send you free porn? Oh, although that's crazy. You can get free porn anywhere, anytime.
Yeah.
Like it's coming over right now, Jeremy. Here's some free porn, which we can't send.
One of the viewers heard that I'm in desperate need of free porn and is sending it over to the Lions Den Studios.
You know, it was actually, I'm so not tech savvy that I was shocked to discover that there's Twitter porn. and I did accidentally. It was, you know, I'm just going through my Twitter things and I'm saying, "What the hell?"
Literally every crevice of the internet has porn somehow.
Every crack
hiding
crevice of the internet you could find this.
I'm sure if you went to whitehouse.gov, you could find some corner of that website has porn.
Well, if you go to whitehouse.gov, you'll get enough nasty things one way or another. You get like blank pages where there used to be useful information for Americans. It's like now blank pages.
Guns. Just in big bold letters on those blank pages.
Yes. And before we hit air tonight, there was news that, speaking of those crazy people, and on Savino Veritas, we usually do speak about those crazy people. And next week, we will be speaking about those crazy people again. But the person of interest in the White House, who is under investigation by the FBI, CIA, and all investigative committees, close to the president, a senior advisor close to the president, has been identified as Jared Kushner. And I am not surprised. He was my pick, actually. They should have had, we should have taken a bet. There should have been odds on that.
You bet your ass!
We'll have to get to Frank and see if we could bet on that somehow. Well, it's too late now, because now it's all over.
Big reveals happen.
But we're going to take just a short break to hear from the artist D about me. So let's listen.
This is the artist D from forculture.com. In Wine the Truth? I believe so. You're listening to Tom Savino on SRN1 Live. But be sure to hop over to juicedtalk.com to download after this broadcast. That's juicedtalk.com. Now, Tom, pour me another glass of wine and get back on my radio.
We'd like to pour you another glass of wine, W-H-I-N-E. This is Savino Veritas and Wine the Truth, usually, but tonight we're not whining. We're just shooting the breeze with Jeremy Long here in the long rain delay.
You know what I hate?
What do you hate?
Speaking of whining, whining babies.
I hate whining babies.
On the airplane.
Oh, yeah.
When you're trying to sleep.
Because there's like no escape.
Or people talking really loudly on their phones.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of annoying things on planes.
God forbid you have a baby talking, whining really loudly on their phone.
On their phone. Is that new? Did you just make that now?
No, I did not.
I was listening to your bit. You might want to use it. So you can have it. It's free. If you like it. I don't know if it's any good. Everybody in Hollywood is writing a screenplay or something like that.
Yeah.
I went to my doctor. I said, write me a script. And he pulled out his pad and says, fade in. Just, I don't know.
You would need 3 promotions to get to be an asshole.
I have to work on
it. Oh, fade in.
We'll have to work on that one.
You know, two things about that. One, you reminded me when you said everybody's trying to write a script, which is partially true out here in La La Land. But it also appears that everyone is an Uber driver somehow. In fact, one time I did a little, I haven't really found a way to actually include it in my set, so I haven't yet, but I did a little impromptu on one of my shows. I think it was at the Improv a couple weeks ago, maybe even a month ago, where I said to a couple in the front row, are you guys a couple? And they said, no, I guess they weren't a couple. And I was like, oh, what are you, her Uber driver? And then they thought that was funny. And then I kind of went into like a thing, a very impromptu thing about where I was like, why is everybody an Uber driver? It's really weird. It used to be like that was the job you took if you needed money. Now people are just doing it on the side no matter what. It's like, oh, hi, nice to meet you. What do you do? Oh, I'm an anesthesiologist and I drive Uber.
You used to be an Uber driver.
Briefly, yes, when I first moved out to sunny Los Angeles.
Do you know I've never taken Uber? I have an Uber fear. I guess it's Uberphobia. I have an Uberphobia. It's hard to say.
I'm not a big fan either, just because I don't like spending money, mainly. I mean, if I can drive myself, I'm going to.
Yeah.
Some people do it just for the convenience, which of course it is convenient in certain circumstances. You know, if you're going somewhere where there's hard time parking or what have you.
Yeah.
Or if you're gonna drink a lot, but if I can drive, I'm just gonna drive because.
If I need to buy transportation, and I don't mean like a bus or a train. In a vehicle, I would go with a cab because it's got, you know, they're licensed and they got all these medallions on them and they got all these, you know,
you don't even know what you're talking about. Try getting it out. Go ahead.
They're accountable, I feel. I don't know. Now, I may be wrong about Uber. They are accountable.
Some of the things that the people that do like Uber are exactly what you're saying, but the opposite viewpoint. They like how low key it is and laid back. And
in contrast to Kim.
Yeah, yeah.
I heard Christopher Walken was an Uber driver. Is that true?
Well, I mean.
Here he is.
Oh, you invited Chris over.
Christopher Walken, how you doing? What's up?
I'm sorry, let me give him my mic. Here, Chris. Thanks, Tom.
It's good to see you. Is it true you're an Uber driver now?
Yeah, well, I don't like talking about it too much because it's a little embarrassing. The steady gigs, you know, until they make click too, it's been a little dry. So in order to pay for my 7 vehicles that I Uber in, I have to Uber from time to time. Sure, yeah.
Well, I understand. It's a tough business. You're finding not too many offers are coming in for scripts and things?
Listen, you know, there's a few offers, but I don't want to be a sellout. I'm not going to do a commercial for, you know, Time Warner Cable. It's not my gig.
I don't blame you. So you feel that you have more integrity to go to Uber to supplement your income?
I do all the car things. Uber, Lyft, Postmates.
Postmates.
I deliver food.
Oh, that's, is that Postmates? Yeah.
Postmates.
Oh, what kind of food do you deliver, Christopher?
You know, really anything. Anything from Thai food to a nice steak.
Hmm. Well, you know, we didn't eat. Jeremy and I didn't eat. I was wondering, and since you have your Uber car out front and you have some company that has food or something, why don't you go grab us some things and
come back. Wow. Wow. That's a tempting offer, Tom.
Yeah, I would get something for yourself. I'll pay for it.
Very generous. You know, sometimes when I'm driving Uber, I get recognized by my passengers.
Really?
Even though I wear a false mustache, basically my usual getup, false mustache, fedora, and shades. And somehow they still recognize me.
Is it because you start dancing? That's why.
It's because I play a copy of my book on tape on repeat while driving. And, you know, sometimes I like to have a little fun with the passenger. One time when the passenger recognized me and asked, "Hey, sorry if this is invasive, but are you Christopher Walken?" I pulled over immediately. Got out of the car. I told him to get into the driver's seat. And then I said, "Chase me."
Well, that by any chance, was it Robert De Niro with a mohawk when he did that?
Oh, Bobby. Poor guy. The gigs aren't coming in for him much either. One time, he stole one of my Uber passengers. With his Uber.
Really?
Yeah.
Who was it? Anybody we know, or just an Uber passenger? How did
it was Deborah Messing?
Oh, really?
Deborah Messing was supposed to ride in my Uber after the Oscars.
Oh no!
And instead, she got in Bob De Niro's Uber.
Wow, this is, we're exposing here at Sabino Veritas a condition in the Hollywood industry. I think that some of the famous older film people are needing to supplement their incomes with Uber. De Niro and Christopher Walken.
Yeah, it's not as easy as it used to be once.
Yeah, everything is getting harder.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
You know, wow, let me look at the time. Wow, let me get, I'm going to go to the Burger King.
Yes, please, and bring us back some burgers.
Pick up some chicken nuggets. Nice, refreshing Coke.
We may be off the air then, but we'll just enjoy it in the kitchen, in Lion's Den Studios kitchen. Thanks so much, Christopher, for joining us.
Thanks, Tom. Look forward to seeing you again. Perhaps... when you get over your fear of Uber, you can be my passenger one day.
I am going to get some therapy with Deborah Messing, as a matter of fact, with my Uber phobia.
Wow. She overcharges, quite frankly.
Oh, well, no, thank you. I think I may look for somebody else.
I would seek out Cher.
Okay.
Cher has a fair price with her therapy courses.
Oh, I'm a real big fan of Cher. I follow her on Twitter. Well, thank you so much.
Not like that bitch, Deborah.
Well, we're back with Jeremy. Jeremy, thanks for bringing Christopher here.
Yeah. You know, I gave him a call. I said, "Hey, if you have time, I know you're very busy schedule, but it's been a long time since he's been on the show."
Do you ever think of incorporating him in your act?
At one point I thought, I brought up Frank earlier, and Frank was on before our show, but I remember discussing it with Frank at one point, and we thought it would be funny if I had a small bit of impressions, and I would say, I would do Christopher Walken,
And because it's a fairly good impression, people would be like, oh, great, you know, good impression. And they would get excited about the, you know, subconsciously about the impressions to come, and then just follow it up with a terrible impression. But act as if I'm doing it just as good as the first one, and then see what they thought.
I think you should rethink that.
Or do an impression. We also said maybe do an impression of one of my family members that the audience would not know who it was, and see what they thought of that, too.
Now, actually, you know, we were back on the subject of, hey, do so and do that joke and do that, you know,
yeah.
Do the 401k joke. If you do impersonations and they're really good, I'm sure the people will start saying, hey, do Christopher Walken.
Yeah, that's probably the one thing in comedy that people would call out.
Yeah.
That's probably the most relatable to a musician's type of situation.
Yeah.
Is a comedian that does impressions.
That does impressions and saying, hey, dude, do so and so.
I thought about doing, I haven't done it in the act yet, but I thought about doing some impressions that are not your typical impressions. I was thinking about doing in maybe an upcoming show. This is my impression of... I always say, hey, you guys like impressions. This is my impression of a cop. No. I would just go into it. Here's a couple impressions for you. Here's the first impression. Do you know how fast you were going? That's a cop who forgot his radar gun at home. And then I'd be like, here's another impression for you. Where do you see yourself in 10 years? Not in mirrors. That is a vampire applying for a job. you know, that kind of stuff. Not real impression.
Oh, that's a funny funny premise. I like the premise.
Yeah,
I think that could work.
It could maybe work.
Even though it didn't work here now, but it's a... I think that's
Savino Veritas exclusive. You've heard Jeremy Jokes in the Works.
Jokes in the Works. And so loosely tied to baseball season, which has already started... you're listening to the Long Rain Delay with Jeremy Long. So, Jeremy Long, we only have a little bit of time left. So what's up? What's new with you? What's next for you?
Real quick, speaking of impressions, I'd be remiss if I didn't say my favorite impression that any comedian has ever done, is Bo Burnham. Are you familiar?
Bo Burnham.
He says on one of his comedy specials, "You guys like impressions?" And everybody's like, "Woo!" Yeah. He says, why? And then they all laugh. And he says, thank you. That was Socrates.
It's funny you mentioned Socrates. I was saying we could get everything on YouTube, digital, everything. I mean, anything that ever happened. So I do think that Aristotle will soon be available on YouTube, Socrates with him.
We can only hope.
And Plato. Well, you're listening to Savino Veritas. This is Tom Savino from Lion's Den Studios.
To answer your question, Tom.
Yes. Oh, yes. I'm sorry, your question. So what's happening next with you?
Well, we got a bunch of shows coming up in June, which is fantastic.
Well, where will you be?
I'm going to be at the Comedy Store. I'll be at...
in Hollywood.
I'll be back at the Federal Bar.
In June?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'll be, and then there's the, I think I'm at the Improv again, Flappers, kind of all over the place. There's this one show, it's not at a comedy club. It's a place called Borderline Bar and Grill. That's in Thousand Oaks.
Borderline Bar and Grill. It must be like near Ventura, is that it?
Yeah, I think it's probably near Ventura.
Because it's like Thousand.
So I'm all over the place in June.
Okay.
And
we'll talk again about different venues. Maybe we'll talk about like how are things at the Comedy Store, how are things at the Improv, and so on and so forth.
Oh, you mean like what's it like performing there?
If it's different or whatever, you know. And we will get in touch with Zane Delgado at some point, I think.
Oh, that'd be great.
And maybe we could talk about some television shows. And
Meeting is adjourned. Oh, I am sorry, sir. I didn't mean to overstep my bounds. You say that.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
No, you say that, Governor.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
The end. By George, he's got it. It is the end.
No,